Epilogue. Names. Omegon woke. He had never slept, had never dreamed, or felt the tug of mortal fatigue in all the days of his existence. Yet here he was, waking from black oblivion, the cold deck of the ship beneath him, the darkness of his arming chamber close about him. The pulse of the beater's engines was a distant rumble on the edge of silence. Coldness poured through his flesh. Moisture beaded his skin. He could taste blood in his mouth, thick and harsh with iron. His hands were numb, the fingers hooked, as though grasping something that had vanished. He moved the fingers and then brought them up to his face. Sharp needles of pain prickled beneath his touch. And then a new feeling came, crushing in its weight, undeniable in its truth, even though he could not tell how it had arrived. He was alone. Words began to form on his tongue, but the door to the chamber was already opening. Arkos stood in the light from the door, his battle plate humming as he stepped within.
Lord Omegon,
Arkos said, bowing his head briefly, then stopping as his eyes fell on the Primarch.
Is there something wrong?
No. No. Is there? He blinked. Cold spirals of light wormed briefly at the edge of sight. Alone. Is there word from Lord Alpharius? Omegon asked, still looking at his hands. He could sense Arcus's frown without needing to see it.
None, he said. But there is something else.
Omegon looked up, the muscles of his neck cold as they moved.
Warmaster Horus wishes to consult directly with Lord Alpharius.
Do we have any indication of what his concern is?
No, Lord, said Arkos. Our sources within the Warmaster's court have become unreliable.
Omegon nodded, glancing over his shoulder as though he had heard something in the empty dark. Prepare the Metatron, he said. I will speak with my brother. Arkos nodded, his gaze lingering on his Primarch for an instant before he left. Alone. Omegon armored himself, the blind servitors bolting the plates of his armor over his flesh as the numbness in his hands and neck became a smoldering pain. I am alone. The knowledge rose through the coldness of his thoughts, certain and inescapable, though he could not say how he knew that it was fact, not fear. He had never been alone, not truly. Even from the first spark of a thought in his consciousness, he had known that he was one of many, a fragment of a greater whole, a piece of a great destiny. And now? He walked from his armory, the scaled and crested helm of the Primarch of the Alpha Legion under his arm. Arkos was waiting in the sealed chamber where they kept the Metatron. Omegon nodded, and the attendants began to unbolt the mask from the one-time astropath's head. He watched as the famine-thin figure writhed, ghost-light and smoke pouring from its mouth to form a shadow in the air above it, a shadow with a face and form. Frost spread across the floor and up his armor. He bowed his head even as the shadow turned to look at him. What had happened? What was happening? What was he now? And he realized that the words he was about to say would trap him for the rest of existence. The jest turned into mocking truth. I am Alpharius, he said. What is your will, my war master? Andromeda looked up as he entered the cell. She sat on the top of the room's only table, grey robes blending with the low light, chromed hair tinged gold by the grimy light of the glow globes.
Are you to release or silence me, Kestros? She asked, and tilted her head,
eyes calm and unblinking. He let out a breath as the door sealed behind him. After a second, she shrugged.
I see you wear the cloak of the Huskarls now.
Her eyes moved deliberately over his armor, pausing on the laurel-wreathed skull and the black cloak and the ice lion fur covering his shoulders.
It suits you.
She reached down to the tabletop beside her, picked up a cup of water that sat there and took a sip.
"Knowledge is a dangerous thing," she said. "How far has the purge progressed?"
He shook his head slowly.
"The Primarch has ordered a systematic sweep of the system's defences and reconfiguration of elements which were found wanting."
"A purge is still a purge. The act itself does not change because you give it a different name. Have you found all of the Alpha Legion warriors and operatives who are embedded within the system?"
He held her gaze.
"Who knows? Some escaped. Many have been engaged and destroyed. A few may have taken refuge in the system."
"They will have," she said. "There is no question of that. And that is presuming that all of the assets they placed here were activated. I would not trust that presumption if I were you."
"We are being thorough," he said.
"I'm sure you are," she said, and smiled coldly. "After all, you are here. One more unfortunate factor to be dealt with. I don't blame you. Knowledge is poison, and I know too much. You can't let the knowledge of the full scope of their operation spread outside of those who have to know. That Alpharius was here in the solar system, on Terra. Too much. Too dangerous a truth to let live." He nodded once.
"It is the Primarch's will that no record be made of Alpharius's death. No word spoken of it, even within the Legion. Only he and the Huskarls know."
"Denying Alpharius even the honour of memory in death?"
"Something like that."
"And now you have come to me," she said,
and he saw the defiance flash in her eyes.
"Have you considered what they wanted? What they were trying to achieve? Were they a harbinger force, the first stage of an invasion? Or did they simply want to see what you would do? They have that now, even if it cost them their Primarch. They have seen your strength and measured it. Knowledge is a weapon, remember."
He breathed out, and the breath became a sigh of laughter.
"Which is why the Primarch does not cast it aside."
She frowned and opened her mouth to speak, but he carried on.
"You are called to serve the Imperium, Andromeda. Lord Dorne has met with the Sigillite, and you can be of further use to us."
"And suppose that I choose not to be of use?"
It was his turn to shrug.
"You will. It is your nature."
She held his gaze for a long moment.
"Arcamus was right to pick you," she said.
He turned away and keyed a control beside the door. It clanked open.
"There have been developments," he said. "A fleet is approaching the system's outer sphere."
She slid off the table and took a step towards the door.
"Another attack?"
He shook his head.
"No. The Khan has returned, with a great host of his white scars. He comes to stand beside the Praetorian," he said. "The darkness grows, and the full force of the storm